I thought I would talk about something that relates to this week's Parsha. Specifically, the Midah of Chesed, which exemplifies the behavior of Avraham Avinu. Titen Emes Yaakov, Chesed Avraham. I want to begin with the Rambam, the famous Rambam, in Perek Yudalot of Hilchos Avelos. And then I'm going to focus on two specific areas of Chesed, one the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, which Hashem Yisbarach Bechvodo Ba'atzmo was Mekayim Mizuvi Avraham Avinu, and also the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchin. The Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, the beginning of the Parsha, Gdol Achnasas Orchin Yoser Mikabalos Panei Hashchina. I'll begin with the Rambam in Perek Gidal Hilchos Avelos. The Rambam here makes the following statement. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Divrayim, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah of Rabbanon, the Vakeh Cholim, to visit the sick, the Nachem Abelim, to consult the mourners, Lohotzi Ames, Lachnis Akalo, Lelabas Orchim, to escort Orchim, escort them out of your home, after you invited them, after you wined and dined them. The Gemara says in Saita, the Rambam writes elsewhere, that this is really the high point of the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, is the act of Livui. And the Rambam continues, he gives a list of other such mitzvahs, v'chein l'sameach hakala v'achoson, the mitzvah simchas kasson v'kala, u'lisadam v'chol tzorcheyem, and to assist them with whatever they need. V'yevlein gmilas chasadim shebegufo she'elem shir. These are considered to be all these acts, and I didn't mention all of them. There are many such actions. They're all considered to be gmilas chasadim shebegufo she'elem shir. If you remember the Mishnah we say every morning in Peah, Eilu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shir, HaPeah LaVikur Ravayin U'Gmilas Chasodim. It's a clear Mishnah that when it comes to acts of Chesed, there's no maximum. The sky is the limit as far as Chesed is concerned. The Rambam then goes on to say, Avo Bishakol Mitzvahs Eilu Bidivrayim, even though all these mitzvahs are Dinam D'Rabbanan, means all these specific pe'ulos, all these specific activities are rabbinic in nature. I'm talking about Bikur Cholim, Nichum Avelim, Hotzas Hames, Simchas Chasam V'Kala. Says the Rambam, Harehein Bichlal V'Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. They're included under a larger umbrella, and the umbrella is the Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah of V'Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Now the Rambam Shita is that the individual activities that I do are all rabbinic in nature, are all drabbanim. However, there's a Kiyum Daraisa. Even though the Gemara, a number of places in Shas, the Gemara attempts to find mikoros for some of these mitzvahs, the Gemara quotes psukim left and right. However, at the end of the day, the Rambam says that all these specific activities are rabbinic in nature. Even though we have psukim, the psukim are considered to be in the get of asmachta. Asmachta means, according to most Rishonim, the Chazal essentially found the remez, found the makor and the pasuk in the Torah for all these dinim d'rabbanan. So the Rambam says that even though the specific action that I do, bikul cholim, simchas chasam v'kala, is rabbinic in nature, however, I'm mekayim a mitzvah min haTorah. What mitzvah is that? V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And the Rambam explains, he defines that mitzvah. A very famous definition. Kol ha'dvarim she'ata rotzeh she'yasu osam l'cha acherim, the way you would like to be treated by others, that's the way you should treat your fellow Jew. The way you would like to be treated. You would like to be wined and dined. You would like to be treated with respect, with kavod, with derech eretz. You would like to be visited, if chas v'shalom, you're a chole, you're sick. And therefore the Rambam says, that is exactly embedded in the pasuk, the same definition is given by the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes. Kol advarim she'ata rotzeh she'yasu osam l'cha acherim, asei ato osam l'yachicha b'torah b'mitzvos. And so we have in the beginning of the Parsha, we have, as I said, these two mitzvahs really come to the fore. Vayera elav Hashem yelon imamre. So Rashi says, the famous first Rashi, Vayera elav, says Rashi, levakir asacholim. All mefarshim ask, how did Rashi know Hashem came to mekayim the mitzvah of bikur cholim? How do we know that? So of course the answer is because it's juxtaposed to the end of Lech Lecha. What happened at the end of Lech Lecha? The Torah describes what took place at the end of Lech Lecha. Bris Milah, correct? we have the circumcision, and right away it says Vayera Eilav. The Torah does not identify whom we are talking about. Eilav refers to Avram Avinu. The last passing of Lechra indicated B'chalan Shei Beis you live by us. U'miknas Kesem is called Benenecho Nimolurito. He underwent the mitzvah of Mila and his household, and therefore Eilav refers to Avram Avinu. Vayera Eilav Hashem. Clearly, he came. Levaker esacholim. So Hashem is mekayin the mitzvah bikacholim, and this is the Gemara in Tzaita and Daf Yudalid, the famous Gemara. The Gemara says the concept of imitati odei. The Gemara there quotes the pasuk, "Achri Hashem alokechem teilechol." The obligation to essentially emulate Hashem is barach. The Gemara asks the kasha: is it possible for a person to go after the Shekhinah? So the Gemara answers. What it means is to go after the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to emulate the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach. Namely, the Gemara says over there, Mahu mal b'sharumim, Hashem clothes the naked, you should clothe the naked. Mahu mevaker cholim, Hashem visits the sick, you should visit the sick. V'chulu v'chulu. Now Soloveitchik, Zechem Levracha, had his own, shall we say, interpolation in this Gemara. And his interpolation was, Mahu mechadesh, afato techadesh. Just like Hashem is involved in creative activity, you also should be involved in creative activity. But that's for another time. But that also is the concept of imitati odei, the notion that we are obligated to emulate the attributes of Hashem. If you call Parshas Kisisa, the way we showed him interpret the psukim in Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu made two requests of Hashem is barach. One request was, Moshe said, Hodieni noas drachecha, show me your ways, show me your attributes. And then Hashem answered affirmatively by telling him, Yud Gimel Midos Shavachavim. Hashem Hashem Kelachim Lechanim. Those are attributes that we can emulate. We're able to go ahead and essentially try to follow the Darki Hashem. Hodienin Os Rechecha. Boed Moshe Rabbeinu asked the second request. Harenin Os Kvodecha. He wanted to tell the essence of Hashem Yisbarach. That Hashem Yisbarach answered. Kilo Yirani Hodem Vachoy. It's not possible to know the essence of Hashem. Hashem is unknowable. That's something which of course is beyond the ken, beyond the capacity of human being to know Hashem in terms of his very essence. The Ramban writes in Chumash, and Rishon point this out, Moshe Rabbeinu came to the 49th Madrega of Havana of Hashem Yisbarach, but the 15th Madrega, namely the essence of Hashem Yisbarach, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not permitted, unfortunately, was not given the opportunity to understand the essence of Hashem Yisbarach. So all this is by way of a backdrop to the mitzvah of these two specific mitzvahs of Bikul Cholim and Hachnasas Arachim. So according to the Rambam, these two mitzvahs are the Rabbanon, the rabbinic in nature, but they are included under the overarching principle of which mitzvahs say, V'ahav to the Recha Kamocha. It means that even though the Maisa mitzvah is the Rabbanon, the Kima mitzvah is the Raisa, this is against the sheet of the Bahag. The Bahag has, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, thousands of mitzvahs that he counted. And the Rambam takes him to task based on the Gemara. At the end of Marcus, the Gemara says, how many mitzvahs were given to Moshe B'Sinai? 613. Obviously, the Bahag did not take that Gemara literally. And therefore the Bahag assumes that there were many more than 613. Whatever the case, the Bahag, based on the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Bahag counts, the Gemara Dash is apostolic in El Metzias. You probably learned it in the fifth grade, I assume that's when generally people learn El Metzias. The Gemara Dash is apostolic to include the mitzvahs such as Bikul Cholim and the like. So I want to talk a little bit about these two specific mitzvahs of Bikul Cholim, and maybe first I'll make a general statement, which I think is a very fundamental yisod, which I think we have to be cognizant of. In the beginning of Vayera, the Torah, describing the chesed of Avraham Avinu, the language of the pasuk is rather clear. The pasuk says, Vayisayin ha-vayar, v'nei shloshar ha-noshim mitzodim olav, vayar, vayorotz likrasa mipesach olav. What does Avraham Avinu do? He begins to run. The moment he espies guests, he begins to run, to be mekabel them, to mekayim the mitzvah achnasas arachim, he's involved. That's where Chazal derived the Gemara in Shabbos that we mentioned. Dola achnasas arachim yosim lehagbol asmei hashchina. He's in a conversation with Hashem Yisbarach. He interrupts the conversation and tells Hashem Yisbarach, "I have to take care of my guests." Vayaratzu kvasim pesach oil vayishtachu arza, and then he tells them, "Al not tavo mi aladecha yukachno mi adayim brachetzu aglechem mishanu tachas haetz." And again, the Torah says the second Layla that Vayaratz Avram Ha'ola El Sarah. He again runs. He's constantly running. And Chazal speak in the Medrash of Ratz Lifnei Malachim Shalosh Ritzos. He ran for his guests. Certainly, he didn't recognize them as angels, but Avraham Avinu was running. He was running actually, as I said, the language of the pasuk Vayar, Vayar Tzikrasam, and then a bit later, Vayimahir Abram Ha'orela El Sarah, to instruct Sarah to prepare bread and cake for the guests. Ve'al Abakar Rotz Abraham, he's running. And Abraham Avinu was mekayim the mitzvah of Hachnas Asarachim, when he's involved in Chesed, he does so with tremendous rizus. And the Medrash writes over here, Av Hamakom Rotz at Nebanov Gimel Ritzos, we, the children of Avraham Avinu, were repaid because of this rizus that Avraham Avinu demonstrated regarding this particular mitzvah. Hashem Yisbarach also ran three times towards Avraham's children when he gave us the Torah. Hashem Yisinai Bo, Bezorach Misei Olamo, Hofiyah Miharparon, V'yosef Rivos Kodesh. So what I want to point out, just by way of Hakdama, because I'm just beginning, that is that when we fulfill the mitzvah of Chesed in all of its, shall we say, manifestations, whether it's Bikul Choldim, Rachnas Eskala, what should it be prompted? What should prompt us to do the mitzvah? It should not be prompted by a sentiment of pity or mercy. We have Rachmanis on this fellow who's sick. We have Rachmanis on this person who seems to have no place to eat. But rather, it should be an obligation, a duty. It should come from realization of my obligation to carry out Chesed. Again, the motivating force in tzedakah is not pity, it's not rachmanis, but rather a sense of obligation, a sense of chiyuv. And the reason why I say that, because it's clear, there are obvious distinctions between tzedakah that emanates from a sense of obligation or that emanates from a sense of pity. Just to give you one or two examples what I'm talking about. If tzedakah comes from pity, if tzedakah comes from a sense of rachmanus, then I can basically sit home. I'm smug, I'm complacent, my stocks are doing well, Baruch Hashem, I seem to be, shall we say, I play golf every Sunday, I wake up at 11 o'clock, and the like, I'm satisfied with my lot, I can wait for the ani to come to me, I can sit back hoping against hope the ani will not appear, I can lead my own selfish life, my own egotistical, shall we say, kind of existence, with a certain degree of, as I said, of complacency and smugness and what have you. And why should they disturb my emotional equilibrium, my homeostasis? Everything is fine, everything is dandy, my situation is wonderful. If, however, tzedakah is motivated by a sense of obligation, by a sense of chiyuv, then, of course, the initiative comes to me. Then I have to search for the ani. Then I have to seek out people who are in need. Then I have to seek out to help those that are downtrodden, those that are, unfortunately, in b'mitzuka. And that's what the pasuk says. Bayar, bayoret, sikrosam, mi pesach oel, vayishtach orza. Chazal say that the malachim, or the guests of Avraham Avinu, were hesitating. They felt maybe they shouldn't trouble Avraham Avinu. He's betosh shosh yamim, he's ill, he's weak. But he ran to them. That's what the pasuk says. He doesn't wait for them to come to him. He doesn't wait till the ani generates somehow an emotional disturbance within him, but rather, he runs to fulfill his obligation. And that's something that should not be taken lightly. And beyond that, Chazal tell us, Vayimaher Abram Ha'ol El Sara, what's happening? Basically, not only does he become involved in the mitzvah, he involves his entire household. The household is in tremendous turmoil, I would say. It's not his own chiyuv, it's his whole family. He involves his wife Sarah, he involves his servants. Again, if the issue was simply rachmanis, then, okay, his own sense of pity was awakened. Why does he have to go ahead and arouse an artificial reaction in others? But if stuck as a result of a chiyuv, of an obligation that I should feel, then everyone has to be involved, everyone has to take part. And the reason why I say that, because often people give tzedakah or a mekayim mitzvahs, whether it's Hachnas Zorchim or Bikul Cholim, as a result of the pity that they have on aniyim, or pity they have on cholim, that should not be at all the motivating factor. I just want to talk a little bit about these two mitzvahs, if I may. Just the mitzvah of Bikul Cholim, as a rav, I guess I am formally obligated to mekayim this mitzvah perhaps a bit more than many others. I often go to hospitals to visit people. I will tell you firstly the following story. I once accompanied Rav Soloveitchik's Rebbe Lebracha to the hospital. He did not ask me to accompany him, but I did it anyway. Kedarki Bakredish. I was not the only one. There were about 10 others who did it as well. All Bachashai. He went to the hospital to visit a Jew who was sick. And then I noticed the following. He came to the ward where the sick person was, and Rav Soloveitchik proceeded to visit every single person in that ward. The moment he arrived in the hospital, there were reporters already on the scene, just uncanny. They knew that there was a great rabbi coming to the hospital, and I don't think Rav was aware of these reporters, Bechlal, but there were reporters, and Rav Soloveitchik visited every patient in the ward, and most of them to me look like, how shall I call them? Down-to-earth goyim, in every sense of the word. And then he finally came to the person that he came to visit. Later on he was asked, why did you visit all these other patients? And he answered, it's a Mishnah. Kind of way, you forgot a Mishnah in Gittin. A Mechab in Shulchan Aruch. That says, Mevakrin, Cholei Yisrael, Cholei Yaakov, Mishum Darkei Shalom. So that was a big chiddush to me. I was not aware of that Mishnah at the time, not aware of that Mechaber. But in general, in Bikur Cholim, there are really several elements that one has to be aware of. Element number one is the Bikur itself. Just the visitation, it was already something of great significance. That's how the Gemara says, Yelchuba, Zu Bikur Cholim, the Gemara B'Metziah. Beyond that, what else is involved in the mitzvah Bikur Cholim? That one has to go and try to assist the Cholim to enhance their physical, psychological state, whatever a person can possibly do, whether you are able to, you have influence with doctors, you know therapies, you know medicaments that can actually be applied and the like, so certainly whatever possible assistance you can actually provide to the Chole, you're certainly obligated to do. And the third thing would be, L'samech HaSachole, this is mentioned by Rishonim, to make them happy. I was once at the bedside of a patient, and a very chashuv rav came. He happens to be a very jolly person, this Rav, and he started cracking jokes. And we were just on the floor, we were in stitches, and so was the Chole. The Chole was in stitches as well, and this went on for a good 45 minutes. This Rav was outstanding. He still is outstanding, Hashem should be Marach Yomav. But I didn't know that this Rav even had that side to him. I was absolutely shocked. He actually happens to be a major Talmud Chacham. And I didn't realize that he had another side to him that somehow emerged in the presence of the Chole. It was really an amazing thing to me. And he was literally cracking jokes. I don't want to say ka'acha min ha'am. His jokes were actually very sharp and full of Talmudic witticisms. And I actually appreciated it very much. The Chola as well, who happened to be a very fine Ben Torah, also appreciated it. And it was a beautiful thing to see. He was masamech the Chola tremendously. I stayed after when this Rav left. And this Chola told me that this Rav comes to him once a week. And that 45-minute session is enough to keep him for the entire week. He says he is so nispoiled from that Rav who came to visit him a number of times. Jokes. He's mesamech the Chole. However, the Ramban writes in Teres HaAdam that it's quoted in Halach and Shulchan Aruch as well in Yerodeah, that one does not fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim even though one has realized the first three elements that I just mentioned, namely the actual Bikur. Number two, the Samech HaSachole. Number three, Letapel Imachole. But there's one most significant thing that one does not fulfill the mitzvah, one does not do, and that is Tefillah. One is not mispalel for the Chole, Ramban says, lo kiyamto es ha-mitzvah. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah, which is a bit of a pella. The very famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal, he discusses, can I mekayem the mitzvah through the telephone, by calling someone. If I'm not able to be there, so I call. Let's say someone is in Chutz Laaretz, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa. Clearly you're not going to take a plane necessarily, although I know people who do that as well, those who are capable of affording it. I know a lot of people who come to Eretz Yisrael to daven for Yom Kippur. This is a very popular thing with Balabatim, and they have the wherewithal to spend $1,500 and for one day Yom Kippur. And for them it's kedai, it's worth it, because the tefillah that they are zochet to in Eretz Yisrael, they told me is incomparable to anything they're zochet to in America, and they feel mechuzah, they're tremendously surrounded by it. Anyway, and I know someone as well who even is mevakir cholim in such a fashion. He has the wherewithal to do so. Whatever the case is, Rav Moshe Feinstein, what do you think he says about Bikur Cholim idea telephone? Are you Mekayem the Mitzvah? You're not Mekayem the Mitzvah. In light of what we just said, a lot of the four elements that really seem to be the critical elements of this Mitzvah, what would you say? Are you Mekayem the Mitzvah or not? The answer is yes. Of course the answer is yes. Obviously, albeit not at the highest level, but certainly the Kima Mitzvah takes place. As far as, let's say, being Mesamech the Cholim, certainly a Mesamech. Again, not to the same extent, perhaps, if you are in his presence. Number two, regarding being metapel with the Chole. You can be metapel with the Chole through the telephone as well. Number three, the actual bikur. Is that called a bikur? Okay, here there's a makom ladun, whether this is considered to be a bikur. If you are, shall we say, 1,000 miles away or several thousand miles away, is that considered to be a kima mitzvah of bikur Chole? I actually went looking this morning, and I noticed a very fascinating story, and actually I called David Ebensol just to clarify, to make sure I actually even got him, to make sure that the story is a true story. And I saw a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rav Ebensol told me it's a true story. During Aseret Yemei Tshuva, that his practice was to go and be Mevakir Cholim. During Aseret Yemei Tshuva, he went to Mekayem the Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim to wish people a good year, And once he came to a Beit Avot called the Beis Simcha, a very famous Beit Avot, that means, what do you call that? Beit Avot, an old age home. And he came to visit an Adam Gadol who was, for many years, lived in his neighborhood. And when he came with his son, Rav Baruch Auerbach Zatzal, he found this Gadol sleeping. And he told the son, wake up the Cholech. The Cholech should be awakened. So Rav Baruch, his son, asked him, how is it possible? Gezel Shina, the Isa. There's an Isa of waking people up. Gezel Shina, of being Mitzara there. So Hashem Zaman answered, no, he's not sleeping because he's tired. He's sleeping because he has no visitors. That's why he's sleeping. He has no Mevakrim. No one is coming to visit him. So Hashem Zaman himself, since his son hesitated, went over to the Chole and woke him up and said, Rabbi Lezer, you have guests. You have Orchim who come to visit you. Rabbi Lezer woke up and was shocked to see the Gadol Hador. There he came to visit him. And they had a tremendous conversation, a very warm and friendly conversation. And Rav Shlomo Zalman wished him, of course, a good year, to have a wonderful year. When the grandson of this Rabbi Lezer, his name was, what did he tell me? Rabbi Eliezer HaKoyen. That when his grandson came to visit him later on that afternoon, and so the grandfather told his grandson, look at the greatness of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If, let's say, there were other people who were very chashuv that come to visit me, and they found me sleeping, what would they do? What would most people do? You leave a petek, you leave a little piece of paper, a little note saying that I came and I found you sleeping. And then when the sick person would get up, would wake up, what would they do? They'd be mitzar, they'd be tremendous tzar, correct? But Hashem Zaman Auerbach, he's a muchen, he's a meyuchad. He knows to be magrish, libam shel Yisrael. And he knows that basically I was sleeping because I have no guests, I have no visitors. And therefore he woke me up, and it was an absolutely tremendous chizuk for me to be in the presence of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So Bikkur Cholim is a very significant mitzvah. I have a lot of stories to tell about Bikkur Cholim that I can't tell them now, because I want to just speak a little bit about Hachnasas Orchim. I want to tell you just a question that's bothered me for many years. I want to know how to define chesed. Here we speak about chesed. What is chesed? So I am the Kabbalah from Arabeim, that chesed is defined by Bissal Salanta. They asked Bissal Salanta, what's chesed? They gave him all kinds of tirutzim themselves, and he told them, chesed is, I'll read the Lashon of Bissal Salanta, lasos ritzon shel mishu hu acher, to carry out the ratzon of the person, of the other individual. And of course that can be done in many, many different ways. But I just want to give you one example of what I'm talking about. Many years ago, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I decided that I need a Rebbe. I need one desperately. And so I made Rabbi Davin Saul my Rebbe. I made for myself a list of people who might be my Rebbe. I have 13 people that I chose. And I decided Rabbi Davin Saul was the best suited for that job. Of course, I didn't ask his opinion. Therefore, I went to visit him. And I went to his house. This is about 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago already. I went to his house. He lives in the old city in the Rova, and I made sure that he'd be home. I appeared at approximately 11:45 at night, because I knew he'd be home by then. That's what I heard. I checked into it. I did my Shabbat work. And so I appeared at 11:45. I knocked on his door, and it was during the winter. And it was actually a cold day, a rainy day, a stormy day. I was dressed in my coat and my sweaters, what have you. You probably noticed that once I start saying St. Talabatar, my coat goes on and doesn't go off. Even though this year I was a chutzar, it's St. Talabatar. But I said the St. Talabatar in Shomer Tefillah, and I haven't taken my coat off since. Anyway, so I go there, and knock on the door, and he says to me, Shalom Aleichem, greets me in a very friendly kind of way, and I told him I have a lot of questions to ask him. Does he mind? He said, no, no problem. So we're standing outside, I'm standing outside the door, he's standing inside the door. I started asking questions. So he says, Rav David, after I told him who I was. Kvodo Ratzeli Kanes, he already calls me Kvodo. You want to enter? So I said, Rav, you know, Ratzeli Kanes, I don't want to bother the Rav. Okay, so we stand there for another 10 minutes. Then he tells me, Kvodo Ratzeli Kanes, I have this pat answer, he's got a pat question. So after 5 minutes, he tells me he cannot continue. I said, why? I can't continue if you're standing. We have to come inside. I cannot tolerate, you're standing there. Okay, so I agreed to come inside. I come inside, I sit down in his little den of sorts, if you can call it, and I proceed. I came with many, many questions, trust me. I had many issues to discuss with him. I was over here in Eretz Yisrael for several years, and I was troubled by a lot of things. I'm talking to him for about an hour, probably close to an hour. It's about a quarter to one in the morning. He tells me, Harav David, maybe you'll take off your coat, maybe you'll take off your hat, maybe you'll feel comfortable. I said, Ani lo rotzeh latriach at harav. I don't want to bother the rav. Okay. A few minutes later, he said, maybe you'll take off your coat and your hat, because it's comfortable in the house. Even though it was raining outside, it was pretty cold outside, it was pretty warm in the house, and I was actually quite warm in that house, that's for sure, with my sweaters and coat and what have you. So I said, Ani lo rotzeh latriach at harav. So he tells me, Rav Demetzel, chakei rega. I have to go somewhere. Rav Demetzel goes outside, comes back 5 minutes later with his coat, his hat, and 3 sweaters. I was absolutely stunned, and with that twinkle in his eye, he's always got a twinkle in his eye, Rav Demetzel, got a smile from literally from one end, what do they call that? The Cheshire cat or something like that. Anyway, a major smile. So right away, I realized he was trying to give me a message, which he was. And so I quickly took off my coat and my hat and my jacket, b'chulu b'chulu, and a second later, Rav Demetzel takes off his coat and his hat and his jacket. That was his way of being meramis to me, that I should feel comfortable and not feel uncomfortable. Actually, that night I was in his house till 20 to 3 a.m., which was when my wife said, you are a chutzpan shen kamo, she told me. I said, you are right, I am, but I love it. Anyway, so chesed, and luckily the Rebbetzin was not there. Otherwise I would have been probably bodily ejected from his house. And that's why even Arayom Hazeh, I have the chutzpah to call Rav Demetzel all hours of the night. One night, a few weeks ago, I called him at 4 a.m., and so Rav Demetzel picks up the phone, and he says, Harav David, katub bechazal la'ibri laila el l'shina. That night was created for sleep. So why are you not sleeping at 4 a.m.? So I wanted to say two things, but I have too much derechas, Rav Demetzel. I said, aval harav atzmo lo yashen. He says, lama ta doeg al harav? Tidag al atzmecha. Worry about yourself. What are you worrying about the rav? So I answered him, L'ibri Laila L'girsa, the Gemara says, that Laila was created for learning. So I happened to be up learning. So therefore, I'm up. Anyway, Rabbi Nemsel chuckled and proceeded to answer the three questions I had. By the way, I've done that once or twice, and at 1:30, the Rebbetzin answered. She recognizes my voice, and I don't want to say what she said to me. Anyway, but but I've learned with the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, this is a mitzvah that one has to literally go out of one's way. That's what Rabbi Salavata defines chesed. Chesed means that one tries to do whatever will in effect satisfy the person who's the orech. That's a tremendous thing. I once heard from my Rebbe, Avital Kanatovsky, the Chatzal Debracha. He once commented on, a famous Rashi. It's actually a Mashor, who talks about this in Maseches Avodah Zarah. But without getting into all the details, the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim is to make the person who comes as the orech feel good, and in effect, that is the ideal chesed that one could possibly have. About 3 years ago, I was in Toronto, and I actually decided I wanted to, I was there for Shabbos, and I decided I wanted to stay on the southern side of the city, which is not the side that I'm so familiar with. I didn't live there, I lived in the middle of the city in the Clanton Park area. Anyway, so I called up Harav Shlomo Miller and asked him if I could have a meal with him on Friday night. And then I decided, Harav Shlomo Miller told me I'm not able to stay with him. He'd be glad to have me stay with him, but he was had a lot of his children that Shabbos, and his house is relatively small. And so I decided to call Rav David Pam, and ask him if I could stay with him. So he said, sure, besimcha. He only has 12, 13 children. Anyway, so I went to Rav David Pam's house. I stayed with him. And I ate actually at Rav Shlomo Miller's house on Friday night. It was tremendous. It was just absolutely outstanding. And then I come to Rav David Pam, and I see Rav David Pam is making my bed. So I said to him, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? I'm making your bed. This is a mitzvah achnasas orchim. I said, not for someone like me. Lo mishu b'mach erki. He said, what are you talking about? He said, mitzvah achnasas orchim. It doesn't make a difference whom the person is, what his stature is, and the like. And the entire rest of Shabbos, he was mishamish me. Rav David Pam. He happens to be one of the sons of Rav Makai Pam. I became very friendly with him when I lived in Toronto. And he's an Odin Gobel himself, a Gavra Rabba, literally Shoyled and Kalato Kula. But it's really incredible to see how great people, how they are the kind of these mitzvahs with such tremendous simcha. And chesed is the yisod of this entire parsha. Gemara says, the Torah begins with midas chasadim and ends with midas chasadim. So there are so many ways we can be in the kind of mitzvah chesed, even simple ways. Someone asks us to learn with them. Someone doesn't understand a piece of Gemara, a Tesis, a Rashi, a Rambam. The greatest chesed is to help that person. Teras chesed, al v'shoyna. That we learn with that person, even though it may, shall we say, inconvenience us, even though perhaps they're being mafriya me. That's a tremendous chesed. That's a beautiful chesed that you help. The greatest chesed to do is to teach someone Torah. To illumine someone's eyes in the area of Torah is a chesed shen kamo. In general, I think that this is a really very significant musa. That we should try to do whatever we can, not because of pity on others who are, shall we say, downtrodden and those that are suffering from all kinds of misfortune, but rather we should feel the obligation to be mischasu with people, to take the initiative and do all kinds of chasadim, not just in the area of pikacholim, achnas sarchim, but bichlal. And there's so many areas of life on an ongoing basis, constantly, that want to be involved in this kind of chesed. If we do so, there's no question that Hashem Yisbarach will, as Chazal say many times, if we are involved in chesed milmata, there's no question Hashem Yisbarach will be ma'orer chesed milmala as well, to all of Yisrael.